One of the most inspirational letters of the New Testament is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a mature letter. It reflects on the Christian life. It reflects on the community of faith. It reflects on the difficulties of our struggles in this world and the hope of heaven. And one of the most inspirational sections of this letter comes right in the middle where Paul prays for the church. And I love this prayer. I turn to it often. It is one of those sort of grounding passages for my faith, and I try to make sure that I've shared that with every church I've been in. And so let's hear together Paul's prayer for the church in the early first century, and indeed for all centuries as we join together today. Let's hear together God's word from Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask for or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Indeed, Lord, to you be the glory in all generations, including ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many outstanding accomplishments begin by the formation of a strategic partnership. Consider what some of the great partners in history have produced. Winston Churchill and FDR taking on the difficulties of World War II together. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, inventing that Apple computer in their garage and then going forth with their ideas and their inventions into the world. Think about your spouse. That's probably one of the most strategic partnerships. I know for me, 35 years ago, best decision I ever made. I can't say the same for my wife necessarily, but for her to say yes was the best partnership I've ever been in. And then think about Warren Buffett and any partnership he wanted to form. That would be quite a partnership, wouldn't it? To have someone with deep pockets like Buffett behind you. Well, you know, that's kind of the way our human calculation goes. Want to be a success? Find someone who can back you to the hilt. What about having a partner with more than deep pockets? What about one with unlimited power and authority in heaven and on earth? What about being a full partner with God in what God wants to do with our lives and what God wants to do here? God's the one who loves us more than is humanly possible. And God's the one who can do immeasurably more than we ask for or imagine. It really isn't what if God were our partner. He's already willing to be. He's already able to be. We just don't let that fact sink in. It's we who kind of interfere with that partnership. It's we who do not allow the full effect of being partners with God take place in our life. Maybe the problem is that we doubt it, or we don't depend on it. God, out of his glorious riches, wants to help us, Paul said. What if we tried letting God be a partner in everything? What if we listened to our doctors and we believed that God had the last word? You know, God does assist in healing in this life, and God gives the ultimate healing in death, the hope of heaven, everlasting life with him. What if we believed that we are to do our best at work and we were to ask God to put his favor on those tasks and efforts that we do day in and day out, to rest on our relationships with our clients, our deals, our proposals, our lessons, our ministry, our service? What if we did our best to steer our children in the right direction and we invited God to steer them when we're not around, to steer them through their hearts and circumstances and consciences? What if we trusted Christ in all things? What if we did our best and we looked to God's grace when we fell short? If we managed to do this day after day, it would be an answer to prayer. The prayer that Paul prayed in that first century, the prayer that many pastors have prayed for their people after reading his letter to the Ephesians. Do we grasp this morning how deeply God loves us? The greatest symbol of love is the cross. And Jerome, who was one of the early church fathers, the one who translated the scriptures into Latin from the Greek in the 5th century, said that the cross reminds us that God's love points up to the holy angels in heaven, that the cross points down even to the evil spirits in hell, and that the cross goes left and right to include those in the human family who are coming towards God and even those who are wandering from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul wrote to the Romans. That's what Jerome was trying to echo when he talked about the cross demonstrating God's great, great love. On the cross, Christ satisfied God's perfect justice by paying the price of all sin. On the cross, Christ offers perfect mercy by letting us be forgiven for our sin. Loving reconciliation through Christ. In the cross, the Heavenly Father welcomes all wanderers homes and brings all believers into his family. It's God's perfect demonstration of love. This is the message that Paul prayed that you'd have in your hearts by the power of the Spirit. And this is what happens when we become partners and participants with God. We have this in our hearts. It centers our lives. It grounds our souls. We become attuned to what God is trying to do in the world, and we become his partners. We become partners in his mission to the poor. We become partners in God's heart for those who are spiritually lost. We become partners to welcome children and adults and seniors and singles and all types into God's family. We become partners in God's pardoning of the sinner and educating the ignorant and building the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what happens when a community of faith becomes a partner with God. We don't ask what if, we begin to ask what's next. When I was called to be your pastor in 2004, we began this journey of being partners together and asking what if. What if we gave our best for God's ministry here in this corner? What if we asked God to work through us, not only in this community, but with all of our partners he's called us to serve around the world? What if we believed the best years were ahead of us and not behind us? What if God called us and helped us to fix things that needed to be fixed here, to heal and to help others who are around us, to grow the kingdom of God here in southern Connecticut and around the world, being a partner in what God was doing in this world today? We began to make plans as we listened and wrestled together with what we saw going on around us. Our plans led to improvements in our programs. We were able to call some key staff members. We began to study our community and the limits of our facilities in serving that community. We began to draw plans that we debated and we prayed over and we evaluated. A master plan was voted on by this congregation in its process. And then we've now come to ask, okay, God, what have you called us to do as stewards? How can we contribute to this plan going forward? How can we lay a strong foundation in this ministry, on this corner, to reach families, to serve our community, to build the kingdom of God together? We started this journey of planning and stewardship with, again, more prayer and study. And we did what people usually do here in Fairfield County. We looked for the best advice we could find. And in the advice, we were led to RSI, a Christian company that has helped 17,000 churches raise billions of dollars for ministry. And they sent us their president to work with us. His name was Joel Michael. And Joel's been here meeting with us and advising us and encouraging us. And he's had good advice for us all along the way. But there are two things that stood out to me as we started in this journey together. First, he said, if your church has a vision, you should share that whole vision with the congregation. Whether it was reachable now or whether it took multiple stages for you to reach it. People needed to hear what you thought God wanted you to do and what you thought God wanted you to be. And so we shared that with you. We talked to you about wanting to transform our site, which was poorly integrated, which had things that weren't working well. We wanted to make it more safe and more attractive. We also wanted to share gifts and be generous with our mission partners. So we wanted to grow the kingdom of God and transform their work along with transforming our work here. And we found that this whole plan would cost about $15 million. I felt a little better this morning hearing that St. Patrick's Cathedral has to be fixed, and it's $175 million. Lord help them. We knew the economy was shaky, but God is our partner. And that was infinitely more important than good economic timing. No one can ever time the economy perfectly in these things. And so Joel said, share the whole picture with your whole congregation. Second piece of advice he gave us as an expert is that looking at a church of our size, looking at a church of our giving patterns, looking at the project, you could expect, if you did really well and came in on average, to raise about $5 to $6 million over a 3-year period. That's the average, and we needed to hear that. That led us to kind of phase our approach and say, okay, there's a $5 million start, there's a $12 million step, and then there's the $15 million project. And we need to know as a congregation, any point along this continuum represents great generosity and unselfish giving, and we need to celebrate wherever we land after today. But what if we go beyond the average? What if God moves in our community in an extraordinary way that calls forth unheard of generosity? Imagine what that might look like. Imagine if in sharing 10% of our gifts with our mission partners, it's not half a million, but it's a million or it's a million and a half. Imagine how many people are helped in these much more disadvantaged regions of the world that we have mission partners. We could expand orphanages in Kenya. We could educate Christians in a Muslim land. We could plant new churches, or we could plant new InterVarsity chapters in New England. We could help microfinance projects for the poor. We could help the Macedonia Church in Norwalk finally start their building plans. We have a team evaluating all of these projects, so we can't promise one over the other. But we do have requests from our partners now saying, we have this hope. We have these dreams. We would appreciate your help. And we're excited about the ways we might help and share that with you in the future. Let's also think what happens if we transform this church. Our seniors will walk in to the sanctuary on level ground as we re-landscape and redo our site work. They won't need stairs or an elevator. Our children will play next to the building and be in a much safer circumstance as cars can now move around the building without interrupting that pattern of going across the way. More people can register for our popular programs that we've had to close down because we're out of space or we couldn't take their children. VBS could grow by, 100 more kids if we can get the volunteers to kind of welcome them in. Worship can still be inspirational, but not just in the sanctuary and the chapel, but in a new flexible worship space that allows for overflow crowds or more creative uses than our traditional buildings. Community groups can gather here, finding help and hope as we host the blood drive and Alcoholics Anonymous and programs for disabled children and whoever else God calls us to serve. What if becomes why not and allows us to continue to be a generous, serving church to this community God's called us to? It's a beautiful question to begin to ask. You know, many of us have had that prayer stone that Pastor Brandy referenced that Mickey has shared with our children. And we've been gathering together for the 20 days of Together at 12. And like Paul's prayer, we have found that pausing together with all the saints, we've been able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's been a great experience. I shared with you a few weeks ago about our mission partners who are actually praying with us in all the different time zones. And for some of us, we may not want to give up that stone, but I do encourage you to turn it in today, or if you didn't bring it, we'll have a container here for those stones over the next few weeks. But you can pick up another stone if you want to continue on the journey of praying for your church, if that became a very good discipline. But we're trying to collect these ones as we start into this process of hopefully new construction. Well, just yesterday, the Reverend Evelyn Wakasama from Kenya, where she's been leading the building up of an orphanage in her village of Nambali, wrote to me this about the prayer journey that she's joined us in these last 20 days. And I want Evelyn's note to us to be the last word that we receive today. Here's what Evelyn, one of God's precious servants, said. Dear Pastor Sam, the appointed time of prayer to join my faith with NPC saints for the last 20 days has been an exciting journey for me. My alarm rings 15 minutes before time to allow enough time to transition into the Lord's presence. I found the experience awesomely beautiful. I will continue to enter his presence at that time, even when this commitment comes to a closure. The Lord reminded me that the pillars of the earth are his, 1 Samuel 2:8. He is the architect and builder of both our lives and our work. Not everyone is given the privilege to build. David desired to build a temple for the Lord, but he was denied the opportunity. He was, however, allowed to collect the materials, gather treasure, and identify the site. It was his son, Solomon, who was given this privilege. Love that quick review on the temple. And then Evelyn said this, God calls and places each one of us at a time for a specific purpose. In this case, we have been called to partner with him in building. Many individuals and families have come and gone in the past. Many more will come and go, but the privilege to build was not, nor will it be, theirs. Let me just say an aside. I heard this week from two former staff members, Pastor Connie and David, and also Kathy Viola, who said, I'm sending in a pledge. So even those who have gone believe in what's happening and are sending back, which is a great blessing. But many come and go, and it's not their privilege to build it, nor will not be theirs, Evelyn goes on to say. Yet God has chosen now as the time to build. It is therefore we who are present that God wills to this privilege. We are invited to a partnership with God, the architect and master builder. I didn't tell her my sermon was about partnership. This arrived after I had written my sermon, which was amazing. This is a wonderful opportunity to embrace. May many rich blessings be made available to you all throughout this journey. Your friend, Evelyn. We do indeed have the privilege. God's given us an opportunity and a purpose to fulfill. In the 18th century, there was a humble cobbler from England named William Carey, and he's the father of the modern mission movement, which started when he went to India to share the gospel. His story is far too long, but let me just share with you his motto, which is short and succinct and applies to us today. William Carey believed that we should expect great things from God, and we should attempt great things for God. So with great expectations, I want to invite our ushers to come forward, and they are bringing with them our construction buckets in which we're going to collect our commitment cards, the children's banks, stones, so they may get a little heavy by the end in there. But as they set up in their positions to take this great offering, let us remember what Paul said to the church of Ephesus so long ago. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, bless this offering, this commitment, this time where we dedicate what you've entrusted to us back to you. And use it, we pray, to do whatever you call us to do as we now have come to be your partners in this ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.